You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Morning, we have Reti Headley from the group or the duo Ear. We're chatting to Reti about their new collaborative track with Ray. The new track is called He Piko He Tuna. Morena to you, Reti. How are you doing?
Hey, morena, Bricky boy. Brother Zach, nice to join you. Nice to be with you this morning. Really good. Woke up to a beautiful day and really, really stoked to have released our new song.
Mm-hmm. As you should be. You should be very proud of it, man. It's a banger. It's an absolute banger. And you're coming to us live from Turangi, is where you said, right?
Yep. Yeah. The center of the universe, Turangi Vice.
How is it? What's going on there? What's the vibe? What's the goss?
Man, I can tell you right now, the morning is way too cold for me. I'm adjusting to that because I'm only 2 weeks living here. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's a very kickbacked town, very chillaxed, mm-hmm. a lot of nature, mm-hmm. and a really nice pace of life, man.
Nice, man, nice. And so are you moving to a small town from a big town, or are you just moving from small town to small town?
Yeah, actually moving from small town to small town. Mm-hmm. Before living in Turangi here, we actually did a year abroad.
Oh, nice.
Family and I, and prior to that, we lived in the second center of the universe besides Turangi, and that was Huntly.
Oh, the powerhouse. I think Huntly is where they filmed the Minecraft movie, which just released.
That's correct. Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's an interesting connection, eh? Minecraft and Huntly.
You wouldn't put the two together normally, but somehow Hollywood loves to feature small town New Zealand, which is very fun. So you and your bandmate Moitu, you all met the co-star of this track, Ray, in 2023 at an Indigenous Music Summit in Canada. Do you know each other very well before that event?
We had crossed paths a few times in the industry, mm-hmm. But that was kind of the first time really spending a lot of time together, getting to know each other, hanging out, mm-hmm. hitting some sushi joints, and at that time we actually were in an Airbnb, and we just decided to play a game. We all got our laptops out and decided to make a beat each.
Oh, nice.
Based on this Taonga Pūoro sample that I just played into the computer. And the instrumental of that track was born at that particular event. What's 2 years ago?
Yeah. Wait, so the foundation of He Piko He Tuna is from that event?
Yeah.
What?
That's correct.
That's awesome.
When we first met those 2 years ago.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's fantastic. What do you know? When you're in Canada, do you also try poutine?
I did eat a lot of poutine.
Yeah, you're a fan? You like it?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like anything. You can only eat it so many times before you kind of need to adjust what you're eating. But
yeah.
That's probably because I ate a ton of it as soon as I got there. And I had to start diversifying my diet after about 2 or 3 days.
Put some veggies in there, you know. Cheese, chips, and gravy. It's very...
Oh, yeah. And the cheese is a really interesting cheese. It's got a...
Cheese curds, right?
Yeah. It's not what the average Kiwis used to.
Yeah, not no mainland, but... So the track itself is, how I would describe the sound of it, is kind of a 90s... esque R&B hip-hop banger with Taonga Pūoro in the form of a punga ihu, which is a nose flute. Now, did you build... So you built the track around the melody of the Taonga Pūoro?
Yeah, that's right. We decided to reach for the punga ihu and developed a basic melody, which is the melody you hear in the track. Mm-hmm. And each one of us... Yeah. Yep, that's it. And each one of us built instrumental around that particular melody, and one made it all the way to the airwaves.
Can we ask whose, or are we keeping that confidential?
It was interesting because I think it started out with my track, but it was very, very basic.
Mm.
And as soon as the boys heard it, the drummer was like, "Wait, I've got these chords that I can already hear." That's Jason, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And he's an incredible piano player. And so he played those chords in the way you hear them. And then Moitu and I we messed around with the bass lines, and all of those original takes from that composing session that many moons ago made it all the way to the final cut.
That's glorious.
I think it's real cool because it captures that moment in time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lightning in a bottle situation. It's, you know, there's a lot of energy there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was being in an unfamiliar country as well, did that help kind of, I guess, put you, Moitu, Jason, more in, I guess, a friendly way with Ray? Because you're both Kiwis in this other country you've probably never been to before.
Yeah, that's right. And it did kind of bring us together in a real natural way because we were all... Well, actually, Ray has been to Canada a lot, particularly for music. And it was really cool to hang out with Ray in that space. And I think Moitu and Jace would agree because we had some experience, someone to kind of show us all around, show us the nightlife. And yeah, it was awesome.
Mean. I want to just touch on, I guess, the explosion of Tangupuoro in recent memory. I think the person who demonstrates that most for me is probably Mokotron. He has been doing some pretty big waves with Tangupuoro. And even locally, we've had this really awesome production which utilizes a live soundtrack that is just a selection of Tangupuoro. I want to know, what do you put that resurgence and that kind of Tangupuoro renaissance, what do you put that down to?
Yeah, I think it's a growing force, much like what would be an example. I'm going to get a little bit poetic here.
Go off, King.
Much like water kind of starting off with ripples that eventually lead to waves and become, you know, the surge of the ocean. And it's probably going to continue to grow, and these waves of new songwriters, composers, producers are going to develop the way in which we use Tangupuoro. And, you know, all of that stuff started way back. And we are now a product of those early researchers and composers and songwriters who were using Tangupuoro. And me personally, I think it's really, really beautiful to see how the Tangupuoro space has grown since those early days. And it makes me really, it encourages me to continue to follow in those footsteps, and encourage people to follow in those footsteps. And so I'm real stoked to see people like Mokotron, to see different productions getting underway and utilizing these really cool ancient instruments that are rooted here in Aotearoa.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't find them anywhere else.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And to be able to participate in that resurgence and that renaissance of what was at one point an almost completely lost family of instruments is humbling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure. Now, we've talked about the sound of the track. I want to touch on, I guess, the themes of it, because it's about the enduring power of love despite, I guess, relationship struggles. You know, our relationships can always just go up and down. And I want to know how you'll draw that metaphor from the traditional Tainui Whakatauki He Piko He Taniwha that the track is based off. And I also want to know, were any of you sleeping on the couch when the song was conceived?
I'm not entirely sure about the sleeping on the couch, but we were, what I can say is that we were all in different parts of the world. When the kaupapa, the storyline of the song, was being written, I was in Romania.
Wow.
The brother Ray was in Canada, and Moitu was in New Zealand, and we were collaborating online at that point. Mm-hmm. What we were sleeping on, I'm not entirely too sure, but that's kind of how it all started. And I remember we had this one hui online, a zui on Zoom, and we all threw around our ideas and what we thought, and the initial idea was around a resilient love. And one very resilient, I guess, a creature or animal in Aotearoa is the tuna, a very resilient tuna man. And right now they're migrating to the Pacific for their, I guess...
The breeding season, right?
Is the breeding seasons, And their descendants will come back to New Zealand. And so we wanted to try and reference that resilience.
Mm.
Someone who will travel halfway across the world to go out in a blaze of glory and only to go all the way back. Like, that's the ultimate booty call. very resilient people who love each other will make that stuff happen, you know? I digress a little bit.
Ultimate booty call at 9:15. That's a great... My show's going so well. Thank you very much.
Hey, but you know, from that kaupapa, we decided to use a lot of the old sayings about tuna.
Mm.
And use that to tell the story about a resilient love between two people.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, we were also inspired from that whakatauki, he piko he tanifa, which I'm not sure if you know, actually derives from kind of Tūrangi and Taupō area.
Wow.
From a man named Iwiko Te Heheu in around the 1850s, 60s, was being presented with the opportunity to be the Māori king of New Zealand.
Wow.
But he said this: Hinanaki uta, hinanaki tai. Search the land, search the seas. Tirohianga wai o Waikato. Search towards Waikato. Waikato, he piko he tanifa. At every bend, there is a rangatira, a chiefly man. He piko he tanifa. Waikato tanifara, Waikato horoponamu. So there's a strong connection to the tribes here of Taupō.
Mm.
And we were heavily inspired by that. And so we ran with that for our main hook.
Mm-hmm. And is that connection to Taupō, is that why the video is shot in various aquatic bodies around Taupō? I think there's a shot in a couple rivers, such as the Tongariro River. Why do you choose those waters? And I guess another question is, how do you stay warm in them? Because it sounds like they were pretty cold.
Oh, man. They were very, very cold. And there was no staying warm, really. because, you know, you want to commit to a particular shot, and there were a lot of shots where we were, if not fully submerged, semi-submerged, and those waters are freezing cold.
Yeah.
And there is a connection there to the waters of Waikato and Taupō Lake feeding into Waikato. Because, as you know, in Taupō City, that's the entranceway or the starting point of Waikato River.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those connections towards that saying of Waikato, he piko he tanifa, and this space here, the origins of those waters. And a few of those locations were Waihi Village, Tongariro River, as you mentioned, Taupō Township, Waikato River, and the last one, well, the first one, was actually Kuratau Lagoon. Mm. Which was the most pristine, beautiful lagoon, and is the opening shot to the music video.
Mm-hmm. And I also hear it's the coldest place of all the locations.
Oh, it was freezing.
Yeah.
Freezing. I would say at least -5 degrees. Yowzers. I could be exaggerating.
Sheesh.
That's
crispy.
It was like someone was stabbing you with a million needles.
Yeah.
And then strangling you.
Well, that's dedication to be able to go into those waters to film the video. Before we went on air, I think you mentioned that you're working on a project this year. And I was wondering if we could touch on that, if there's any details we could reveal about what the planned year have in store for 2025.
Yeah, so we're currently committed to a 6-track EP.
Mm-hmm.
And we were lucky enough, thank you to our whānau from Te Maanga and Pāho, to get some financial support there to help aid the songwriting process and tautoko in whatever way, where it be studios and whatnot. And we've finished about 4 of the waiata,
mm-hmm.
and we have 2 more to flesh out and to collaborate on. In fact, I've got a session tonight with Moitu.
Nice.
And we're hoping to really finish off one of those two that are yet to kind of be demoed out and fleshed out.
Sick. So hopefully it'll come out at the end of the year, I'm guessing?
I would say just before the summer.
Just before the summer.
Mid-spring, we'll start the big campaign of rolling out our new Waiata. Mm-hmm. We're definitely going to be dropping a music video clip in and around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I could give you a bit of a exclusive on that particular Waiata, but we're aiming to release a Waiata that is based on the life of our whānau who are living back in the pās and the marais, mm-hmm. the ahika, those who are really holding down the marais and taking care of people who come in and out for whatever kaupapa. Mm-hmm. And I'll leave that there. Mm-hmm. That can be a little exclusive for Radio 1.
Mm-hmm. Keeping that ancestral flame alive, baby.
Yeah. Yep,
love the Ahikado. Yeah, it's cool. Well, awesome. I want to thank you so much for coming on and having such an engaging, fun chat with me today, Reti. It was a real pleasure, and I can't wait to listen to the EP when it comes out later in the year.
Tēnā koe, Zach, and thank you for having me on your radio station.
Of course. Take care, man. I hope Turangi treats you well. Take care. All right, folks. That was Reti Headley from EAR. We're talking about the new track they've done in collaboration with Ray. It's called Hipiko Hituna. We're going to play it for you right now. And then at 9:30 we'll have Quizzle Me This with the Quizzard of Oz, the Quizzler, and maybe Agatha Quizzity. We'll see how we go. Here's Hipiko Hituna by Ia and Ray. Kame michi te puna kanga horo te ota. Hoki atu ai ki tō tāwā hunga. He roa te haerenga, katahi te māmaira. Engari ka utonu. That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.